When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. When you have a canned intro like that, all you can do is just mess around with the cadence, unless you can come up with something clever to throw in on the end. And that wasn't so clever. So what am I thinking about today as we close out another week? Now it's, what, 8 days till Kids Read Comics? Feeling much better, though. And I won't go any further than that because that's not important right now. What is important is what you guys are thinking about is a means to get me thinking a little bit harder. And I got a great email, or rather all of us did, from Renee Van Belton. What was this? 3 days ago we got this. And Renee asks, he's RV Belton on the Twitters, by the way. If you guys aren't following him, I'd recommend that you do because he always posts really interesting things. And that's why I mention him so much, because he always gets my mind working a little bit harder. He's wondering about how, if I could tell, or if we could talk about how we keep it interesting, keep the process interesting as an author when we're doing a long form story, like an episodic comic or graphic novel. And he says in the email, for me personally, if something takes longer than a week to make, I'm no longer interested. After a few months, I probably have no memory ever thinking about it. So how do you keep that fire burning? Good question. Very good question. That's one of those, fundamental questions that when you give the answer, it sounds like a platitude. And that's like a lot of hard-won wisdom. It always comes off sounding like a platitude, like, you know, eat your vegetables, work hard. But this is something that I struggled with, oh man, for years when I was first starting out as a cartoonist. I've told the story many times of starting out doing these mini comics, The Front, and another mini comic called The Black Hole Equation. And I was doing them on a fairly regular basis in my late teens and early 20s. And I always say, when I tell the stories of those books, that part of the reason I gave it up and stopped working on The Front after 6 or 7 issues, I actually drew, I think, 8 or 9 issues, but 2 of them never got printed. And they're so awful. I don't even think that'd be anything worth learning from if I ever published them. They were really bad. But so after 7 issues, I just found myself stopping. Now, there's a lot of factors that were at work there, one of which, the most important one, I think, is that I didn't pre-plan the story. I didn't sit down and break it into a process of writing it first, thumbnailing the entire thing out, and then going through and drawing the darn thing. I was doing it all on the fly, and so I found myself in a situation where I didn't know where to go next in the story. I found several spots in the in the earlier parts of the story I was working on where I threw in an element that I had no idea what I was going to do with, and come 2-3 issues later, I hadn't touched it, and I had forgotten what the heck I was going to do with it in the first place. I had no reason to be there, no pre-planning. So that's one of the lessons I learned from that. But also, I think it was partially because I wasn't fully invested in the story. Same with The Black Hole Equation. I got 4 issues in. I had an idea where that story was going. It was intended to be a fast and loose, fun little exercise where I draw a 4-page comic in an afternoon. I posted The Black Hole Equation comics online. I think all 4 issues that I did, gosh, I want to say I did 5, but I think there's only 4 online. And each of those, especially the first couple, were 4-page comics that I just did in one sitting. I just spent a couple hours in the afternoon just belting it out. And I drew them actual size. So I took an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, regular computer sheet of computer paper. I don't know what the centimeter measurements are. I really should. I actually know the metric system. I just don't know the conversion very well. But I would fold that into quarters, and I would draw the pages that size, and so that way I could belt out the pages really fast. And it stayed really fun for me for a little while, but then I lost interest. Why? Because I wasn't completely invested in the story. I had a vision for Black Hole Equation, but it wasn't a vision that made me go, and it's going to be the coolest thing ever. That should be the ending phrase of whatever story that you're working on. And I think that is what sustains you in a long-form story, because I'll tell you, having worked on a comic for almost 5 years, meaning The Front, I've told the story 100 times now, is that it took me 5 years to do that thing from writing to the final printing. There are plenty of opportunities to become disenchanted, to be frustrated, to feel unappreciated, to feel that it's not as great as you thought it was. the only thing that kept me going that entire time. Well, there's a couple things that keep you going, and but I think the healthiest one, the mentally most healthiest one, is a sense of, and it's going to be the coolest thing ever. And it's not, at least for me, it was not easy to find that story. It took, well, if I started writing the front in 2001, I had been drawing comics, quote unquote, professionally since 1992. So it was going on 10 years of playing around with it and working for a bunch of different companies and doing little freelance jobs here and there before I finally, after all that experience, got to the point where I had an idea for something. I've had a command of my craft, at least to the extent that I could come up with an idea that I've said, this is not only well-crafted for as best as I could do at the time, but it's a unique idea to me, and it's a comic I would want to read. So ultimately, it comes down to, I think, a highly refined degree of selfishness. Is a sense that this is going to be the most awesome comic ever that I would want to read. And again, that's not an easy thing to keep it's not an easy thing to find. I think it takes a lot of goofing around and trying out little things. And get this, I think it's okay to abandon a story if you don't feel it's interesting anymore, regardless if it's good. When I look back on my early work on the front, some of the stuff is okay. Some of the stuff is stuff that I would congratulate a student on. But I wasn't as invested anymore. There was something wrong with the story. There wasn't a heart there. There wasn't a vision. There wasn't a purpose for that story to exist other than to indulge me in drawing these characters that I like drawing. So that's the difference. Okay, so I just mentioned selfishness a moment ago. And maybe that wasn't the most accurate word to use, because I really think that my earlier front work was the self-indulgent stuff. That was me going, isn't this character neat? I'm going to draw him beating up somebody. Oh, this is a cool design. I'm going to throw that character into the story because it's cool. That's all. That's self-indulgence. But when you have a story or an idea or a character that when you think about them, you're like, and it's going to be the coolest thing ever. Everybody's going to love this thing. And you really believe that? Then you give yourself to it. That's what keeps the fire burning, because you've handed yourself over to it. You're committed to it. Gosh, I think it was a line out of the Bhagavad Gita that says that, you know, the wise man understands that philosophy and discipline are the same thing. And that was my first-hand experience with the truth of that statement. It seems like a weird thing to say, but there was never, even in my darkest hours of frustration and despair working on this comic that I felt like nobody was going to read. You have to remember, even in 2003, especially growing up as a guy who grew up on mainstream American comics, I had no hope that the audience was ever going to come, that anybody was ever going to like this book and read it and enjoy it. But that weird selfishness of this is going to be the coolest story ever, and it's going to be a story I want to read, was this kind of larger than myself. It was an idea that was larger than me that I could give myself over to, and that's what made me go to that desk. Now, there's other things too. Let's talk about some other things to keep the fire burning, at least for me. This is my show. I get to say the things that work for me and me alone. And this isn't necessarily going to work for everybody. There's the caveat I always have to throw in. Sorry, Kim Holm of cartoonarchy.blogspot.com. I have to qualify my statements. It's a habit for me and a compulsion. A little bit of it is that heroic kind of feeling of being committed to something. I think first you have to be committed in a real fundamentally philosophical and emotional level to whatever idea it is that you found. But once you're in it, there's also this kind of like macho sense of heroism of, yeah, I gave myself to this thing another couple hours today or another couple hours this week, whatever time you've got. And I gave myself to it wholly. I didn't do a half-hearted job. I poured my guts into this today. And that usually only comes through after you're done. I mean, when you're in it, it's torture. And then when you look at that finished page and you got one more page added to the pile, that's the thing that keeps you going. And you know, then there's also I guess that's what I'm talking about here, is the sense of accomplishment that keeps you going. But again, I think that is a secondary thing that has to, the first thing is you have to find that magical idea. And I don't think this is something that is like some kind of act of genius that only just gets, that hits you in the head like a lightning bolt. I think this is something that we can find through just wandering. I don't think that it's something that only a few of us get to do. I think anybody with, I think I'm going to wind up misquoting the last unicorn here. You know, the idea of like the only one who could find a unicorn is the one with like a pure heart and the unicorns are only visible to those who search and trust. that's the line from the last unicorn. And it's, I think that as dumb as that sounds, there's a similarity there to finding a really good idea for a story. Now, idea, maybe I'm misusing that term too. What I mean by that is a story. To find a story, that's what I should have been saying at the start. So if you go back and re-listen, just every time I say idea, just replace it with story. Finding that story is not an easy thing to do, as I've said. I can't say how long it's going to take. It took me roughly 10 years. It could take you 2, it could take you 5. It just depends on how your brain works, I think, and what projects you try out in the meantime to lead you there. And what kind of people you surround yourself with. I mean, I've given credit before to Tom Root as the guy. Working with him on some projects for Antarctic Press was a huge learning experience for me, to get me thinking a little bit more deeply about story. But then it was my buddy Hoover, who I would talk to on a weekly basis about how much I love the Transformers, that got me really in touch with what I love about story. So Hoover, talking to Hoover got me thinking about the philosophy and the emotion of it. Talking to Tom got me thinking about the structure and the mechanics of it. And that's how, those are two of many, many, many influences that came together to help me find that thing that I was wandering around in the woods by myself until I bumped my head into it. But practically, what can you do to find this thing, this story that's going to electrify you and never let you go? I think that it really comes down to just playing. I always talk about this, creating in the spirit of play. Try out little things. Try out little 4-page stories that you can do very quickly. 2-page stories you can do very quickly. If you wind up losing interest, don't fight it. Just keep doing lots of little stories until you find the thing that makes sense to you. And doing those stories is going to achieve two purposes. One, you're going to become a better illustrator, because with each little project, each little comics project, you're going to challenge yourself or find yourself challenged to draw lots of different things. And that's going to add to your visual vocabulary. 2, thinking visually about story is going to get you thinking about story, which is going to make you a better storyteller. So when you do find that idea, 1, you're going to be able to, God, I do that a lot, don't I? 1, this, and 2, that. A, this, and B, that. I'm just noticing that now. It's the 36 or 37 episodes in, and now I finally notice it. But it means that you are going to be better able to tell the story in a way that you're going to be satisfied with, but you're also going to be able to identify that story, because when you have a more sophisticated sense of how story works, then, and this is achieved by reading lots of books on writing, but also writing a lot of stories. That's the number one best way to do it. You're not going to overlook something that could be a killer story. It could be the best story that you could ever do, and it's going to be awesome, that story. You'll be able to identify it better because you're going to have a more sophisticated sense of how story works and what has promise and what doesn't. So I guess the moral of the story today is just keep playing. If you haven't found it yet, don't panic. You got time. You got time, providing that you're always, always creating something. And if it gets a little dull, if it gets a little boring, if you don't like the way it looks, crumple it up, throw it over your shoulder, doesn't matter. It's fine. Because the act of doing that is a learning experience in and of itself. And even if you're not aware of where that information is being stored, it's there. Mark jokes around a lot about having a really crappy memory. If he truly had his memory, a memory as bad as he thinks or professes to have, he wouldn't be able to draw, right? That information is being stored, even if it is just complete muscle memory. And I do think that some writing can become like a muscle memory. It becomes a sixth sense that you just know when things are right and things are wrong, even if you can't intellectually justify why you did what you did. And you don't have to. Just because I get nerded out about this stuff and I waste a lot of people's time going on and on about story structure and all these different nuances of making comics doesn't mean that everybody has to or should. So, okay. Who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for subscribing to this project. We couldn't do this without you. We couldn't sponsor the Kids Read Comics lunch without your support. This project and your support made that possible. So I really do feel indebted to all of you for being able to do that for a bunch of fellow cartoonists and sort of on your behalf. That means a lot to me. As many of you know, I think comics people are the best people in the entire world, and I feel really grateful to be able to do something to help them out, even if it's just to put a sandwich in them. So, okay, I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
In today's story, Zagraz had a problem. He lost his confidence in himself because he had once failed. Well, now, we all fail sometimes, but we should never be afraid to try again. And we should always keep believing in ourselves. As the old saying goes, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Until later, bye.